Hello and welcome to episode 79 of the Creating Happy Writers podcast. It's great you're here, so thank you for joining me today. My name's Steph Caswell. I'm a multi-published author and a writing coach on a mission to take away the overwhelm, the confusion and the frustration from the writing process and give you the confidence and the knowledge you need to pursue your writing goals. I'm also dedicated to helping more women publish business-boosting books in their niches so they can stand out, earn more, and be known in their industry. If you want to learn more about writing or publishing your business or non-fiction book, you can do one or both of these two things. Sign up for my weekly newsletter, The Right Stuff, full of writing and publishing advice straight to your inbox every single Thursday, and grab a copy of my book, Dare to Write, which walks you step by step from your initial book idea to a published manuscript. It's available right now on Amazon or on my website. Links to both of these will be in the show notes. This is just a quick review plea, if I can, before we start the main episode, which is if you have not yet left a review of the podcast on your favourite podcast platform, please could you do so? It really, really helps me to reach more people. And when people discover the podcast for the first time, it gives them a really good flavour as to what it's about, but also whether it's worth listening to. So if you haven't done that yet, if you could just spare 2 minutes today to write a quick review, either on Apple Podcasts or on Spotify, I'd really appreciate it. Thank you so much. Okay, I'm going to get started with today's episode, which is something I believe can kick your year off in the right way. Some advice on what I would do if I was writing my first book in 2025. So why do I think it's worth doing this episode now? Well, it's always good, isn't it, to do some of these types of episodes at the start of a year, because there's a whole 12 months stretching ahead of us and it can be really exciting to think about what we could achieve in that time. Now, as you may know, if you've listened to the podcast before and you've heard me talk about writing goals, I don't necessarily do goals in the same way that I used to. I'm very much less rigid and restricted. And I like to think to myself, okay, I'm going to publish this year, for example, and I have a rough idea of when that would be, but I'm not somebody who still sticks to that. I've got to check my goals every day, every week, and all that kind of thing, because I found that personally too stressful. But I do think that this type of episode can be really helpful in terms of me, an established, experienced writer, talking to you about if I was in your position and this was my first book or maybe my second book, this is what I would do in 2025. And I hope you feel that this is worth listening to, even if a book right now isn't something you're going to be doing immediately this year, or perhaps it's something you're going to be doing maybe in Q4, whatever it might be. I hope it gives you a little bit of a taster of my opinion as to what will help you when you eventually get round to doing it. Mindset, for me, is the biggest thing stopping you from writing your book. And I'm going to be dedicating these next few solo episodes to all aspects of mindset and the inner work we have to do as writers. Because as much as the practical stuff is helpful, of course it is, the confidence and the self-belief that we need as writers to put our work out there conquers all of that. It matters the most. Mindset matters most. It really does. And the more I work with people and the more that I continue to publish my own stuff, it's made me realize how much mindset is the thing we have to really work on all the time. And it's not like, okay, I'm writing book number 8. And that my self-belief and self-confidence is so through the roof that I don't need this kind of work. I need it every single day. So I really think that if we can focus over the next few solo episodes on the mindset stuff, on the inner work, on the reflection stuff, it's really going to help set you up, setting me up for a great 2025. So today I'm going to take you through the key things that I believe would have helped me back in 2015, when I first wrote Keeping Bums in Seats, which is my very first book for teachers. And I think that this stuff still resonates. It still matters a whole decade later. And these are 7 or 8 things that I believe that if we can take these into 2025, we're going to be winning. And this is more of kind of an overview type episode. Next week, or next solo episode, I'm going to be really looking at the mindset thing, at the self-confidence thing. But this is kind of like, these are the hot topics for me. So the first thing I would do is I would stop waiting to feel ready. And I started with this one because I truly think that we can be our own worst enemy when we think about when is the right time to do this. And when something's hard or daunting or new, we can put it off, we can procrastinate, we can think to ourselves, right, I'm not ready yet. I want to do this thing, but I'm not quite ready. And perhaps that looks like, okay, I'm going to get another qualification, or I'm going to just wait and do another year in business, or I'm just going to work with another 5 clients to really make sure that what I want to say in my book is worth saying. And I get all that, I do. But what I really believe is that we can wait and wait and wait, and the day never comes. The day never comes. Because like anything that seems overwhelming, the idea of doing it is great, but the reality of it can sometimes be less great. And in my email newsletter this week, I talked about the fact that I did this exact thing when I was giving birth, about waiting to be ready to go to the hospital. And okay, yes, that was a rather extreme example. And also, I hope, an entertaining story for people who subscribe to my newsletter. But it really resonated with me because I thought to myself, what are the big things I've done in life where I've just waited until I felt ready? And birthing Beau was one of them, based on previous experience. But so was starting a business. So was doing this podcast. I always thought to myself, I need to feel ready. And the reality is, we never feel ready. That day is not coming. We're not going to wake up one day on a Wednesday in the middle of March and be like, yes, today I feel ready. Today I'm going to do the thing. Because we're not. We're not programmed like that. Our brain is trying to protect us at all times. So what it's doing is saying to you, oh, actually get another qualification, or just do a bit more research, or why don't you wait another 6 months so that you feel like you've had a little bit more practice at something. The hard truth is that we know what we need to do. We just don't want to do it. And that's not through lack of ambition. It's not through lack of dedication. It's not through lack of commitment. None of that. It's just the fact that we don't feel ready because for some reason our brain is telling us that we're not quite there yet. And actually, we are. You are. You are ready to write the book you want to write. If you've been doing what you've been doing for 3, 5, 7, 10 years, let me just say, you are ready. You don't need another year. You don't need another course or just to read a few more books. You don't need to do that. I can say with great certainty that you are ready because you have lived what you want to write about through working with clients, through your life experience. There's no need to keep putting it off. There really isn't. You are ready. You just need to think to yourself, okay, how am I going to actually now do this? And that's where all this, the podcast, this will hopefully help you. My book will help you. Anything out there around writing will help you. So don't feel as though you have to absolutely feel 100% ready for this, because you never will. You will always feel a slight sense of panic, a slight sense of, is it the right time? But if you want to write this book and it will keep calling to you to be written, because that's what books do, then I would say you need to rip off the band-aid, as they say in the States, and just start. So now you're ready. What next? Well, write for one person who needs your help right now. What I mean by this is, imagine someone books in for a discovery call or an initial consultation with you. Write to that person. Write to the person that wants to work with you is right at the beginning of their journey with you, their journey of transformation, their journey of change, or better understanding, or whatever it is that you do that is going to improve their lives in some way. That's the person that you have to write to, because those are the people that need your help immediately. And the reason people pick up books is because they know that they're going to get some immediate help with something. So say you're walking past a bookshop and you're browsing and you're in the nonfiction section, as I often tend to be, and you see in there a whole shelf on a particular topic. And quite often, let's say, for example, self-help, that's obviously a massive area of a lot of bookshops. And you're standing there and you see something and you think, yeah, do you know what? That particular thing has been bothering me or has been a challenge for me, or I really want to know more about that. And I sometimes give the example of Seth Godin, and I really love Seth's writing. I really love his books, but I don't have all of them yet. And often when I go in, I will look at the business books and I will see some of Seth's books, particularly obviously on marketing, because that's what his zone of genius is on. And I will think to myself, do you know what? I really feel like I'm still needing support with marketing. And so I will pick up a Seth book because I know by reading it, I'm going to get some immediate answers. Am I working with Seth one-to-one? Absolutely not. Am I listening to him on a podcast? No. Am I doing one of his courses, if Seth did courses, which I don't actually think he does? No, I'm not. So the book is my chance to get some answers. And Seth is writing to me as his ideal reader. He knows I'm a business person. He knows I'm struggling with marketing. He knows that I need some help to get more leads, more inquiries, whatever it could be. And he's able to give me some solutions. So when you're writing, stop trying to write to everybody. Stop having a broad niche. Stop thinking to yourself, well, if I just write for this person and this person, then it's going to mean that more people will read my book. The opposite will happen. Less people will read your book because they're confused. They don't know what it is you're actually talking about. Because if you're too broad, then people are like, well, it was sort of helpful. It gave me some ideas, but it still didn't really give me exactly what I was looking for. I urge you to think about the person booking onto the discovery call and what do they need your help with right now. And the smaller you can make that topic, the better. The third thing, treat writing your book like your next big strategic business move, not a someday wish. Now, this is linked a little bit to feeling ready, point number one. But more than that, it's about being strategic and thinking to yourself, what is this book going to do for me, for my business, and the audience that I serve? You cannot go into this thinking it's just a wishful, well, at some point I'm going to publish, or at some point I really want to write a book. This needs to be strategic. The number one reason people don't finish the books they start, in my opinion, is that they don't see it as a priority. They see it as something they're sort of doing on the side. And if I'm being brutally honest, if you want your business book to succeed, if you want to be taken seriously in your niche, in your industry, then you need to make it a priority. Because people who are authors are the people who get more opportunities to speak on stages, to appear on podcasts, to appear in publications. If you're somebody who's working on your PR and you think, I need more media coverage, if you're an author, you are going to get more attention from the people that matter, that will get more people to know who you are. So don't underestimate what a book can do. And it's a nice thing to write. It's a great personal journey. And you know how I feel about it. I think it's one of the best things you can do to discover more about yourself. But let's be real. If you're going to do this, you have to be strategic. You have to think to yourself, right, what am I writing this book for? What do I want it to do for me? How is it going to help me become more known in my industry? Don't just treat it as a sort of little bit of a side hustle. Be strategic. That's what I would do back in 2015 if I was doing this again. I didn't realize the opportunities that would come out of writing a book. So I didn't really think of it like this. And at that point, I was still teaching full time. So I didn't really have a business head on my shoulders. I wrote it because I just wanted to write it. But nowadays, books can do so much for people to help elevate themselves in their industries. And I saw a post from Daniel Priestley the other day, and he was saying that he looked on Stephen Bartlett's podcast, the guests on there, and it was something in the 80%+ of people who were guests on the podcast had books, were authors. So let's, okay, you might not want to be on Stephen Bartlett. I guess in the current climate, maybe some people don't want to be on Stephen Bartlett. Fair enough. But let's just talk about the biggest podcasts within your industry. To get on there, to have a book means you are going to stand out and you're going to be noticed and you're going to be more likely to get on them because people want experts, and writing a book makes you an expert. Linked to that is my fourth point. I'd approach my writing as if it was a non-negotiable meeting. Now, this can be tricky for people, but the people that are most successful when they work with me are the people who make writing their book a priority in terms of, yes, strategic, but also just on the day-to-day admin daily task level. They diarize their writing. They take it seriously. One lady I worked with, and I was writing this recently in my current manuscript, she told her team, she was a CEO of a company, she told her team, this is my writing time, it's in my diary, I'm not to have any other meetings put in. This is protected time. And if a CEO of a company can do that, then you can do that. And that's why I'm such a big advocate, as you should know by now, of the 30-minute approach, because I recognize that we don't have lots of time, but I do think we all have time. If we're taking this seriously, if we're making it a strategic move, you will find the time. And that can be uncomfortable to hear, but it's true. If you really want to write a book, you will find the time. If you are somebody who's writing it and thinking, well, someday it's a sort of ish thing, then that's great, but don't expect it to have the same level of success for you, because it just won't. It will be one of those things that 10 years down the line, you're still going to be writing it. You're still going to be tinkering. You'll be doing it here and there. And that's not very fulfilling. It's more about what can you do right now, this week, to move your writing forward. And I spoke to a wonderful author who told me she does something slightly different to me. She doesn't have 30-minute sprints a day. She sets herself a weekly target of words. So, for example, she said to me, I used to set myself a target of 2,000 words and I just had to get that done that week, however that happened. So it might have been that she spent 2 hours on one day, half an hour on another day, half an hour on another day. But it wasn't the time for her, it was more the word count. So if that feels better, do that. But diarizing your writing as though it's a meeting that you cannot move out of your diary can really, really help. And the people that are in my group program in Write 90 have all told me that by having our weekly co-writing sessions, they are able to make more progress because it's something that they put in their diary and it means they're having focused writing time. Keep your ears and eyes peeled for in the next couple of weeks, because I am going to be launching something that is more available to more people who want to do the same thing. The fifth point I want to make is I would get support from day one. What I tend to find is there are two types of writer. There'll be somebody who comes to me and they will want to have an initial chat and a consultation. And they'll say to me, Steph, I want to write this book. Can you help me? And I take them from the beginning, just from that very initial idea that they have, all the way through. So we work together and we build out the structure and we do all the initial prep together. And then they want to meet with me monthly. And they're my one-to-one clients. They know right from the word go, they want and need support. And if I'm being honest with you, they're the people who tend to write and finish and publish their books within the year, because they're very dedicated to it. They're making it a priority. And they're also recognizing that having help is the way forward. Trying to do it yourself by Googling stuff, by watching YouTube videos. Again, I wrote my first book doing that. So I know how much easier it is to sit with someone for a day, map it out, get it done, off I go and write, rather than trying to research how to structure a book, how to write a chapter. Any of those things can take up valuable time, which you probably don't have. So I would get support from day one. If that's not possible or available to you, then I would say get support once you've written your manuscript, your first initial draft or an early draft. Again, come to people like me, a developmental editor, who can take a look at your manuscript and tell you what's working on a structure level, on a big, broad level, and give you some advice and guidance on how you can improve it and how you can move forward with the project. So get help. Stop trying to do it all by yourself. If you are an established business owner, you will know that coaches and mentors and people who've been there and done the thing you want to do are the people to be in contact with. If you are trying to do it on your own, much like anything in business, it becomes harder and more stressful. So get support. The sixth point I want to make, I would share the journey openly with my audience. People love that kind of thing. You may feel reluctant to do this, and I understand, it's a weird thing. I'm very open, as you probably know, about my writing. I will tell you when I'm writing a book. I will tell you when I'm not writing a book, because I'm finding that I'm not actually getting my ass in the chair. I'm very open about the process. I'll tell you what I think works. I will tell you that I'm publishing a book this year. I like to bring you, my audience, on the journey. And I can understand reluctance, because in some ways, by announcing your writing, it means that people are going to ask you about it. It means people are going to hold you accountable. It means you have to do the bloody thing. And that is hard. It's hard to put yourself out there, say you're doing something, because you may worry that you won't actually do it. And I understand that. But my point is, you can actually make yourself do it by doing this thing. You will be surprised at how supportive and kind and caring your audience are. They are going to be excited for you. And the people who aren't excited, well, screw them. You don't need them in your audience. You don't need them in your life. You might find, like some people do, that their friends and their families have an opinion about that you are trying to write a book. And I've seen this before. That's okay too. You need to just allow them, or as Mel Robbins would say, let them have that opinion and crack on anyway. Because this is your life, your opportunity, your chance to write something that matters, that grows your business, that helps you stand out. It's not about them, it's about you. And if you do come across those negative Noras, which you will, and it will come from very surprising places, you have to think to yourself, okay, thank you for your opinion, but I'm going to park it and I'm going to do it anyway. So talk about what you're doing. Talk about the journey. Talk about what's hard, what's easy, what you're enjoying, what you're hating. Get them to vote on your cover. Ask for them to be beta readers. Whatever it is, please don't hide the fact that you're writing, because people on the whole are going to love the fact that you're doing this. And even if you test it out with a few trusted work friends or people you know within your community, tell them what you're doing. And I bet you the reaction will be so heartwarming and supportive that you'll want to share it on a wider scale too. One other reason that's important is that you want to build anticipation. If you're looking at it from a marketing perspective, you want to build anticipation for your book. You want to build a audience of readers that are chomping at the bit when that book comes out to read it, that are going to help you get early reviews, that are going to help spread the word about the book. If you keep them in the dark and you all of a sudden just announce that next week you're publishing a book, it's just your audience aren't primed and ready. They don't know what the hell you're talking about. So use the opportunity to start building the community, the audience you want for your book, and bring them along on the ride. My last point is probably my favorite. If I were writing my first book in 2025, I would write the book that only I can write. Now, this might sound a weird thing to say, but the likelihood is we compare ourselves to other writers, to other people in our industries, and we try to predict what people want, what they are looking for, how we are going to sound important and well connected and well researched. We worry about all that stuff. And what happens is we then write a book that we think we should write rather than a book that we want to write, or a book that is a true reflection of who we are and what we stand for. And that is, for a lot of people that I work with, the thing that transforms their experience the most is accepting that you have to write the book that is true to who you are, because that means you're going to have an audience who totally get who you are, support what you're doing, love what you're doing, rather than a group of people who like you because you sound a little bit like that other person that they also like. And people are tired of it. People are not interested in clones or people who summarize what everyone else has said. Stand on your own two feet, stick your stake in the ground and say to people, this is who I am, this is what I believe, these are the strategies that I believe work. And when you do that, it frees up you to write better, to write in a more, dare I say this horrendously overused word, authentic way. It's true to who you are. You're not trying to sound like the very best-selling books in your niche. You are trying to sound like you. And therefore, writing becomes easier, promoting it becomes easier. And you haven't got people who read your book and then think, oh, I think I know who this person is. And then they go to your social, or they join your newsletter, or they work with you, and they're like, hang about, you don't sound anything like your book. You seem to have a very different take on things. You have to be bold and confident to write the book that is true to who you are, the book that wants to be written because only you can write it. We worry that there's saturated marketplaces and that there are so many books in your particular niche. And my answer to that is, there isn't your book. Your book isn't in your niche. Why do you think publishers still publish books in topics that are heavily saturated? Because A, there's an audience, and B, because the writer has a unique take on something. And that unique take might be your lived experience, or it might be that you have a strategy that no one else has been using or talking about, or it could be that something's changed in your industry and you are here with a fresh perspective. The reason you can worry is if you're trying to write a book that's so similar to someone else's, that's when the comparison thing kicks in. That's when we try and sound a certain way that's not true to who we are. So write the book this year that only you can write, with your experience, your expertise, your client stories, your lived experience. Because if you try to do something else, you will hate the process. And when you hate the process, you're not going to do it. So there you have it. My seven things that I would do. I'm going to just quickly go through them. Number one, stop waiting to feel ready. Two, write for one person who needs your help right now. Three, treat it like your next big strategic business move, not a someday wish. Four, approach your writing time like a non-negotiable meeting. Five, get support from day one. Six, share the journey openly with your audience. And seven, write the book that only you can write. As with anything, what you take from this episode will be individual to you, of course. But the thing I want you to think about over anything else is this. Start with the expertise you already have. Stop thinking you have to have one more year in business, one more qualification. Please know, you are enough. Trust your years of experience, the work you've done with clients. That's what matters. Knowing your shit looks different for all of us, but I can guarantee that you know yours. Of course you do. So stop waiting and start doing. Trust yourself and trust your experience. and just write the damn book already. If you know another writer who'd enjoy these episodes, do share the podcast with them. If you'd like to connect or you've got questions that I can use for future episodes, then feel free to email me, steph@stephcaswell.com. I am on Instagram @stephcaswellauthor and I'm on LinkedIn. So until next time, I wish you the best of luck with your writing in 2025. I can't wait to hear all about your books, all about your progress. And as I said, keep your eyes and ears peeled because there's going to be an exciting community aspect coming to my business. And I can't wait for you to join me inside. So until next time, happy writing.